Morning. Welcome to Christian Fellowship. Does anybody figure that one out? Sign says, speed bumps ahead when children are present. I couldn't quite figure out whether, well, yeah, maybe they were removable speed bumps. What was it? There, you can hardly see this one, but it says wet when raining. It's on the side of a hill, and I thought, people need to be informed, right? It's wet when it's raining. As I thought about the topic today, I realized that there was a mistake in the paper. And it's actually in the bulletin, too. They called me on Thursday while I was at the office and asked me what the topic was. And I knew what the topic was. I just couldn't remember the scriptures. And I knew there was Mark 13, and so I just kind of guessed. And Mark 13, 1 through 13, is actually the Olivet Discourse. If any of you have studied that, it's a famous passage that shows up in the other Gospels. And there's, I wouldn't say controversy, but there's questions about actually what the Olivet Discourse is referring to. We know that it refers directly to the destruction of the temple in AD 70. And we know that there's also a foreshadowing of the Lord's return in the same discourse. We're not going to do the Olivet Discourse today. I'm sorry if you came expecting that. Actually, what I was looking for from those scriptures was just two questions. And so that's all we're going to look at from that portion is verses 1 through 4. But before we get to that, I just had a question for you. Friday at noon. What happens the first Friday at noon? Sirens go off, yes. When the sirens go off, what goes through your mind? I always think, is this the end? Is this the end of the world? Is it happening right now, today? And I can see by the head shaking that there's other people that somehow when those sirens go off, certain things go through our mind. And I thought, how does that actually weave into signs of the times? When I looked up the words for sign in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in Hebrew, it's called oath, O-T-H. And in the New Testament, in the Greek, it's called Semeion. And those words can actually mean a signal or a banner or an omen or a warning. So the signal that we hear every first Friday at noon is actually a sign. It's a signal that, or a warning, it could be. As I thought about that, I thought, has anything happened to you recently that your world maybe was coming to an end? You maybe have thought this is it. Things are over. Because I had one recently where I thought my world could be coming to an end. Some of you know this story, but I'm going to repeat it for those that don't. And it actually relates to the last time I spoke here in March when I spoke on transformation. At that time, I said that God was wanting to transform some stuff in me. And one of those things was my prayer life. Now, at the time, I thought, well, God, what's the matter with my prayer life? I talk to you every day. You talk to me. And there was something that he had to show me. He couldn't just tell me. He had to show me. And so, it was a Tuesday, and I was in the North End at a dear lady's house who's really struggling. I was doing a quote. She had lots of quotes that needed to be done. She needed her dad to get up and down the steps. She needed a bathroom done. She needed floors repaired. But she shared with me that her husband was dying of cancer. And so I said, would you like me to pray for you right now? And usually when that happens, the person starts crying just because they realize that God sent somebody to pray with them right then in their hour of need or their moment of need. And so I was praying with her on the front porch. During my prayer, my phone started buzzing while I was praying. So I didn't answer. And when I got done and I walked out to the sidewalk, I hit my phone, I listened to the message, and it was my wife. She was crying. She was panicked. She had just been in an accident. She didn't know whether to get out of the car. She didn't know whether her sternum was broken. And right, it's the call that everyone dreads. It's the call you never want to get. So I jumped on the motorcycle and I was racing there. And how was I praying? Oh God, thank you for this nice day. This is really a beautiful day. No, that's not how I was praying. You know how I was praying. I wrote down some words that insistent, incessant. I was crying out. I was imploring the God of the universe for mercy. I was focused. I was very specific of what I was asking for. And God said, here you go, son. This is how I want you to pray. Not just at these times, but I want you to be able to pray like this for other people. When I prompt you to pray, incessant, specific, urgent. When I got to the top of Burn Road, there's an overpass there that goes over the railroad tracks. You guys can picture that one. It's a very high overpass. I could see down to the intersection of Burn and Airport. They had parked the biggest ladder truck that the fire department has across the intersection diagonally. So it was a huge traffic jam. All the cars had to go single file around this fire truck. In the middle of all the flashing lights and the sirens, I knew that my wife was down there in the middle, scared, hurt. God was having mercy on me. God, couldn't I have learned this lesson some other way? Couldn't I have learned this one by instruction? And he had to show me. It was a sign. It was a warning. Let's take a look at the first scripture. This is out of the ESV, and really all I wanted to pull out of this scripture today was the two questions that are asked here. It says, and as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, this is Mark 13:1-4, look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings. Jesus said to him, do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. As he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished? The sign that they were looking for, the question of when, is something that's probably on all of our minds that are believers. And I've come to find out that it's even on the minds of unbelievers. I have friends that are not believers, but still wonder about the rapture. Is it really true? I know it's in the Bible. I wonder about that. I have used some examples at the mission. One thing I tell them at the mission is, if there's ever a time when I'm standing in front and talking and all of a sudden all you see is a pile of clothes, you can come and take my keys and get in my car and you can drive to my house and have all my stuff. Everything I own, you can have, because I won't need it anymore. And it's just an example of what? The fact that I think that at any moment, Jesus could return, and I won't be here, and I won't need any more stuff. There's another scripture that I was really wanting to concentrate on today. It's Matthew 16. This one has been very instrumental in my life, and it says this, Matthew 16, 2 and 3. He answered them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times." That's where we get our topic today, the signs of the times. Jesus made reference to them. This may be the first reference to red skies at night, sailors delight. Red skies in morning, sailors take warning. Jesus himself said that. Here it is. The signs of the times. What are the signs of the times? Is there any signs now that tell us what time it is? There's a famous prophet from my generation who asked this question. How long till the point of no return? Right? That was given to my generation. We sang that one. How long? The song also says, how far to the point of no return? And I just throw it out there today. Is that on your mind? How long? When is Jesus going to return? The signs are, they're all around us. And before we really jump into the signs, there's just a few things I'd like to say about what's coming up here in the sermons. In the next month and a half, we're going to start talking about the gaps that the focus groups, and I use that term, we're now calling them prayer groups, have found. And what I've found in the outward group that I'm involved in is that the gaps aren't huge, there aren't big holes, but there are things that some that God wants us to focus on and improve on. One of the things that our group has determined is that we don't really have a comprehensive program for encouraging people to share their faith, to share the good news. And we, in the past, we've done certain things like sharing Jesus without fear, and we should probably do something like that again. But I think that every Sunday, we can get a little bit of an encouragement or a lesson. And this one, Signs of the Times, is something that you can use with your unsaved friends. You could walk up to your friends and say, "Hey, have you seen any signs of the times?" And they might say, "Oh, what does that mean?" I go, "Well, here's what the Bible says." And then you could give them just one sign. And there's a bunch of them in the scriptures that people would be interested in. Like, there's a scripture that says, right, that there's going to be huge fish kills, essentially. And you can go online and look it up. You can see a beach a quarter mile long and maybe 200 yards wide that's this deep in fish that have washed up. And the fact that the oceans are dying, they're now being overrun with jellyfish. Right? Those are signs in the Bible that you could look up and, right, people would be interested in that. They'd want to know, wow, that's in the Bible? And it's a perfect opening for sharing your faith. That even though this stuff is in the Bible, we look forward to a new heaven, new earth. We look forward to eternal life with Jesus. I have hope for the future. I'm not scared by this. You can use this in the gospel. Now, the signs that I'm going to share today are just seven ones that I picked. The portion, the Olivet Discourse, has stuff in it that we would all recognize. Those of us that have been in church for any amount of time, earthquakes in diverse places, famines, pestilences, hatred. There's a lot of them in there. I'm not going to hit those today. I'm really just going to look at some that that spoke to me. Did you ever miss a sign? I missed a sign once. I've probably missed many signs. But the sign that I missed, well, I'll just tell you the story. My family and I were traveling out west. Back when my kids were younger, there was just a certain amount of time when you can do long trips, like 2 or 3 weeks long. And by the way, I was thinking over this last night, before I went on this trip, a dear brother of mine gave me a suggestion, and I'm just going to give it to you too. It was Dick Altman. Dick, I'm sorry for throwing you out there like this. He said that if you pray before you go on a trip, that God would show you something that you will never see any other way. See what happens. And so I thought, this sounds like a good idea. And so we prayed that way before we went on any of our trips, that God would be able to show us stuff that we wouldn't get any other way than going on this trip. As we were going west on our first trip, I thought in my mind that I have to see the Grand Canyon. It's just a bucket list. As it turned out, all the stuff I saw before that was so much more impressive than the Grand Canyon that it's kind of hard to believe, right? The Grand Canyon is grand. It's the best. No, there was some great stuff that we saw. But we're heading out of Colorado, I-70, into Utah, and we're just driving along, and it's a great trip. All of a sudden, right, the gas gauge is getting down towards E. I'm thinking, we should probably look for a gas station. Wow, there was nothing. There was no exits. And the moonscape that was all around us, right? There's no vegetation. It's just rocks and stone. There's no grass. It was like we were in outer space. I'm looking for a gas station. None to be had. There was these pull-offs, but there was nothing there. Just cattle gates. So the cattle wouldn't get out on the highway. If there was cattle, I don't know how there could have been. There was no grass. All of a sudden, the gas gauge hits E. And we're thinking, at any minute, right, it's 105 degrees out, we're going to be stuck. I said, guys, we need to pray right now. This happened many times on my trips, where we just, as a family, and the prayers that kids say are awesome, aren't they? They just, there's nothing. God, we need your help, please. Right? And right then, we came around a bend. There was a highway patrolman in the center median. Now, normally, right, we get tensed up. Praise the Lord, right? So I pulled in behind the highway patrolman and said, we're in a jam. No gas stations out here. And he said, didn't you see the sign? I said, what sign? No services for 90 miles. I didn't see a sign. I missed that sign. He said, right across the highway is a pullout, and I bet if you pulled over there, there's a service truck. There's all kinds of cars breaking down. It was very hot. There was a lot of cars in there. He said, I bet he's got 5 gallons of gas. Sure enough, we drove over there. There was a service truck on the back. He had 5 gallons of gas. He didn't even make us pay for it. He said, if you stop at the first station that you come to, that'll be my station. You can pay for it then. So, praise the Lord. Right? Even though I had missed the sign, God took care of us that day. But today, I was reminded, I don't want to miss the signs. What are the signs that I don't want to miss? All right, here's the first one. Daniel 12, 4b. Most of the ones that I'm going to look at are not this short, but I just thought this one was pretty amazing. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. All of these scriptures that I'm going to read to you refer to the end times. Some of them will say in the last days. But this one kind of spoke to me as I looked at, I was in transportation, and so I just started looking at transportation. You know that it was just less than 200 years ago that the primary means of transportation was a horse and buggy? And now, just think if you had to come to church today in your horse and buggy, what time would you have had to leave? Right? Even diesel train engines weren't invented until 1950. How about passenger planes? When was the first passenger plane invented? Anybody got any ideas? 1914. So just 100 years ago, a little over 100 years ago, we started flying around. Before that, walking, riding your horse. I started thinking about technology and science and energy and stuff like DNA. That just has come in our generation. I started thinking about what came to mind was a picture of an old hockey game. And in the old hockey game, they didn't have helmets on, by the way. They just did. And they had like a chain link fence around the ice. But they didn't really have lighting like we have now. And so it was very dark. I don't think they had candles, but I'm not sure what they had up in the rafters to just light a sporting event. I started thinking about cell phones. And I had a funny story. My nephew was at dad and mom's. And he looked at their telephone. And he said, what a good idea to have a cord on it so you don't lose it. Right? Just in our lifetime. Right? I was thinking about when I was a kid in grade school. Who remembers a mimeograph machine? Right? You remember the smell of the mimeograph machine? That's how we made copies. Right? Kids now are thinking, what are they talking about? You know? Right? That's just in our lifetime, the knowledge that has increased in just our lifetime tells us what? Yes, a sign of the times. The next one, Revelation 13, 16, and 17. This is talking about the beast, the second beast. He causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark that is the name of the beast or the number of its name. Now, my point today isn't to really talk about the end times and the beast and explain Revelation. It's really just to say this. Ours is the first generation. No other time in history could have spawned the mark of the beast, and no other generation but ours could have understood how the system would operate. Now, right now, we have the ability to mark every individual. We have the computer capacity for there to be no cash. Everything will be done by the mark. Now, in this generation, before, how are they going to mark everybody? Are they going to try and hunt everybody down and give them a tattoo? No, now, right? We can put a little chip right in there. The mark of the beast is close. It could happen any day. Any day. Slide 5 is Matthew 24, 37. I need us to concentrate on these next two. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Days of Noah. What were the days of Noah like? The Bible tells us, Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 11, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. How far do we have to look to see that? The front of the paper today? We don't have to look far. But in my mind, I thought, how is this being passed on to our children? And so I just looked up, what were the 10 most popular video games in 2016? Now, I thought, there's probably some people in here that's not going to get this. They're not going to know what this video game thing is all about. But I know for a fact that if your kid is sitting with you, he knows what these are. And here they are. Here's the top 10. Heroes of Warcraft, World of Tanks, Minecraft, Battlefield 4, Smite. This one is where players appear as God in an arena. Diablo, Reaper of Souls. Counter-Strike Global Offensive. One called Dota 2. I don't know what that is. World of Warcraft. And the number one game from last year, League of Legends, where an unseen summoner controls a champion. I thought, is that like the devil controlling the Antichrist? These are the top 10 video games from last year. This is what our kids are doing. Right? They don't go out and play anymore like we did. Or some of us made our kids do, go outside and play. No, they stay inside and play video games. What do they learn from those video games? Learn how to kill people. Kill your enemy. They learn violence. Just like what? The days of Noah. The days of Noah are here, by the way. These are the days just like Noah's. Here's the next one. Luke 17, 28 and 30. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went from out of Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. What were the days of Lot like? This is what Jude 1:7 says. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. All right, sexual immorality. How far do we have to go to see that? I did some studies. I looked. 18 countries now legalize gay marriage. Sexual immorality and its celebration is everywhere. You can go to festivals around town this weekend and see it. There's a TV show that celebrates polygamy. But we don't even have to go that far. Right? Just the statistics about pornography in the church. This isn't even in the general population. Incredible. The days of Lot are here. Now, number 5 says, this is 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Just looking at the offerings in movies, TV, Tell you the truth, I felt defiled. Just reading through the movies that you can buy at Redbox or rent at Redbox, it's defiling. It's pervasive. Satanic rituals, witchcraft, celebrating suicide. Deceitful spirits and demonic teaching is here, now. Second Timothy 3:1-5. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money. A TV show called Greed. True stories. They always end in murder. True stories. Proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. Here's the phrase that jumped out at me. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Now, we could skip over that one pretty easily. Oh, that's pretty amazing, Scott. I hear you. No, God wants us to stop for just a second. Is there anybody in this room that could be a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God? Look around and say, no, we're all nice people. We all love God. We don't love pleasure. So instead of me looking at you, right, I had to look at myself. How often am I a lover of pleasure? God, you can ask me anything just so it doesn't hurt. I just want to avoid pain and suffering. Yeah, this one creeps in, doesn't it? How we would rather watch TV than do something that God prompted us to do, whatever that is. For me, I'd rather eat. I like eating. Most of the time, we can see what that thing is that trips us up when we're under stress. When you're stressed, where do you go? What do you do when you're stressed out? That's the thing that we have a tendency to love more than God. We don't have to go far. The last one. 2 Peter 3:4. This one is about mockers, and so I put the word in there. They, the mockers, will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. As I thought about the mockers, I also, I almost hate to even mention it. It's just so defiling. But anybody see the comedian Kathy Griffith? See that article this week? How just the deplorable, offensive remarks that were made about our Savior Jesus. And then how she held up her award and said, this is my God now. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Many of us know families with children. Many of us have children ourselves that have wandered away. They've listened to these teachers. They've wandered off into myths. They've listened to the fake news. We know some. We may have some children like that. What time is it? Oh, it's 10:30. No. It's the last time. These are the last times. These are the signs that tell us what time it is. I found some other ones, and I found some in Isaiah that have to do with the destruction of Syria right now. They're taking place right now. The ones with the animals are crazy. The bees. What is it, like 50% of all the bees on the earth have died? Okay. Here they are. We've looked at seven of them. There's a lot more. What does it say to us? What does it say to me? When we recognize the signs, what should we do? Here's the verses that that I wrote down, and you're going to have to turn to these because I didn't put these on a slide. So those of us that know Christ as our Savior, we should have our Bibles with us. You should be able to turn to your Bible right now. It's in Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. This is what it says. This is what we should do. This is our response. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as what? As you see the day approaching. It tells us what we should do. We should not stop getting together. We should encourage one another. We should hold fast. We should remind each other that the day is drawing near. It's not time to give up. It's not time to fall asleep. As I was thinking about this, though, I thought, there's a personal challenge too. What have you seen recently? Have you seen anything? Have you seen any signs? And there's personal signs that kind of show up in our own life that we could see if we had eyes. Have you seen increased temptation in yourself? Have you had an inability to pray? When was the last time you read your Bible? Has it been weeks, months even? Those are signs. It's a personal sign. You can see that the end is coming by the things that are going on inside you. How about this one? Has God placed a stop sign in front of you and told you to stop doing something? But right around it you go. Is that a sign that God has given you? Stop. If these signs that we've looked at today have reminded you that you are not right with God, the time to respond is now. I came across this verse in Joel. It's the next slide. It just speaks to me. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Are you in the valley of decision today? You've never given your life to Christ. It just seems like something Christians do. My parents did. They go to church. No, today, are you in the valley of decision? Is God convicting you today to decide for Christ? If so, decide for Christ today, right now. Give your life to Christ. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting for a better day. I'm waiting for a different opportunity, a better preacher. No, God is convicting you right now. You're going to feel it inside. You're going to know. You'll feel him inside, moving, calling your name, knocking at your door. Open the door to Jesus today. Some of us might say, well, I'm just waiting to get my act together. As soon as I get my act together, then I'm going to come to God. I'm going to give my life to him, and everything will be good. Not going to happen. You're not going to get your act together. Without him, it's not going to happen. Today, if you don't know Christ, give your life to him. If the worship team wants to come forward, we're going to transition into the remembrance. I would just say to you today, don't wait. These are the last times. We don't know how much longer we have. Give your life to Christ today. If you've never done that, do it now. Just say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my sins. I am a sinful man. Forgive me. Give me the new life. I want to be born again. Please, Father, I give you my life. I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. Amen.